This is Katie and Julia. Just wanted to say hi, and we miss everybody at church. Say bye.
Thank you, Katie, for that wonderful welcome.
So wonderful.
And welcome everyone to worship on this fifth Sunday of the Epiphany season. Epiphany is means an unveiling, a revealing, and it is a time in our worship year, our liturgical year, where we see an unveiling of who Jesus truly is, and it's also an invitation to discover who we truly are in Him. So I welcome you to worship on a lovely and snowy Vermont morning. I hope it is lovely where you are as well. My name is Mitchell Hay, and I'm the pastor of the Essex Center United Methodist Church.
And I'm Barb Lemmel. I do a variety of things for the conference, and I also am married to Mitch and part of the Essex Center United Methodist Church. It's great to be with you all this morning.
We are going to be exploring an early part of Jesus' ministry and see how it, along with the words of the prophet Isaiah, may give us an idea of how to let go of some of the things we may need to let go of as we enter into continuing the season of Epiphany and also move into this season of Lent. But we invite you to worship. We have a call to worship that is in your bulletin that is on our Facebook page or may have been emailed to you. If you don't have that, the response will be the same throughout. We raise our voices in praise. Before we start the call to worship, we want to remind folks that today will be a communion service. So there will be a time in the service where there's quiet or pauses that you might want to get some elements for your own communion at home. Something that can symbolize bread and something of cup. We are pretty open about what that is at home.
So
we have bread and grape juice here, but find what works for you. And I invite you to a call to worship. Come, flock of voices, sing.
We raise our voices in praise. Come and sound your praises to our God.
We raise our voices in praise. Come, mount the wings of exaltation.
We raise our voices in praise.
Come
fledgling choir and fly.
We raise our voices in praise.
In praise.
Amen. Amen.
And as we come into our opening to God time, I invite you to take a moment and take a few breaths so that we can really be present and be quiet here. So breathe in and breathe out. And breathe in God's Spirit. And breathe out whatever you need to release from the week. And then breathe God's Spirit in again. And breathe out to be here fully as you are. And hear these words from Psalm 139 about us being fully who we are in God's presence. Lord, you have probed me and you know. You know when I sit and when I stand. You discern my yelling from afar. You sift through my life path and my resting patterns. You have intimate knowledge of all my ways. You encompass me front and back. Where can I run away from your presence? Where can I flee from your face? If I go to heaven, you're there. If I descend below, you're there too. If I fly with wings to the east, if I dwell on the western horizon, there too your hand will guide me. Your right hand will grasp me. If I say, let darkness envelop me, and night be light for me. Even darkness cannot be dark for you. Night will light up as the day. Darkness and light are the same. Amen.
Amen. I love that translation of Psalm 139. And what an assurance that not only are we completely known by God, but we are completely beloved, even though we're completely known. We are beloved children of God.
Even with yelling.
Even when we're needing to yell or wanting to hide.
Right.
God's presence is there. We have a young people's message from Danielle and her family called Recharging Our Batteries. And I look forward to hearing that.
Hi. I've really been missing people at church lately. Have you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who are some people you've been missing?
Papa.
Bella. David.
Everett.
Wally. Paige. Mm-hmm. Lots of people we've been missing. All right. So I was thinking about the Bible. Well, first I was thinking about books I like to read. And some of the books I like to read are biographies. Do you know what a biography is?
Yeah.
Yeah, what?
It's a book about people.
Like, yeah.
And an autobiography is like about the person wrote that about themselves.
Right. So a biography is someone else wrote a book about the person's life. Mm-hmm. And there's four books of the Bible that are kind of like biographies of Jesus' life. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And when I read a biography, sometimes you read them about people you really look up to. And what's cool about biographies is you get to learn stories and things that they did and their habits and try them on yourself. Like say you learned that something about Bill Gates and you decided you were going to keep books with you all the time so you read more, because I think that's something he does. So you can learn how to do new things. So Jesus is someone I really look up to. What about you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I like looking to those books about things we should do in our lives. So if one of these things dies, what do we have to do?
Charge it.
Yeah, we got to recharge the batteries. We got to plug them in. Now sometimes, kind of like us, but can you just plug us into the wall?
No.
You
have to get energy.
Yeah. So in the Bible, in the book of Mark, one of the Gospels, and that's one of the kind of biographies of Jesus, it talks about how Jesus had to recharge his batteries. And maybe it'll give us a hint of how we can recharge ours. So what I want you to do is I want you to use your hands. And when you're up high with your hands, you think Jesus' battery is really full. And when you're down low with your hands, Jesus' battery is really empty. And anyone at home can do it with us, okay? So we'll start full. Jesus traveled around Galilee, preaching, driving out demons, and healing people. One day, Jesus and his disciples went to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was there with a fever. Jesus took her by the hand and helped her up. All at once, the fever left her, and she prepared a meal for everyone. That evening, many people came to Jesus to be healed of all sorts of diseases. The whole town gathered at the door to watch. That was a very long day. Jesus got up at sunrise the next morning and found a quiet place to pray and recharge his spirit. When Simon and the others woke up, they found him and said, "Everyone's looking for you." Jesus had fully charged his batteries and was ready to go. He said to them, "Let's go to all the other towns so we can preach to them and heal them. That's what I came to do." So they traveled all around and Jesus preached and healed people. So when you have a long day, what are some things that kind of drain your battery? What might be something that drains your battery, Allison?
Doing something for a long time.
Like what? Doing something for a long time. Zoom? Classroom Zooms? Yeah, what drains your battery,
Hannah? I'm letting, like, run around.
When you're running around, being really active.
When you do stuff that's really physical for a really long time.
Mm-hmm. Like climbing mountains.
You get super tired.
What's something that drains your batteries, like your mind batteries? Yeah?
When I'm going to sleep. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty drained at night. Yeah.
When you do schoolwork, it gets less than one.
Yeah, you start to get drained. So I was thinking originally, so I'm reading this like a biography, and I'm trying to get some notes from Jesus. Can you sit still, please? And one of the notes that I got is that Jesus could have slept in the morning after. He had people there all night, and he was healing them and making them feel better and driving out demons. But instead of sleeping in the next morning, what did he do?
He went out early to pray to God.
He got up early to pray and be with God. So what that tells me is maybe something I could try to recharge my batteries is spend time with God. What do you think?
Yeah.
What are some ways he spent time with God doing what? What was he doing?
He was praying.
He was praying. We could do church, which right now is online, or sometimes we could sing praise songs, like, you know, have some vacation Bible school songs you like. There's lots of things we can do to recharge our spiritual batteries, just like our body batteries.
Or have a dance party.
Have a dance party, yep. All right, can we say a prayer? Dear God, help us to read the Bible like a biography. Help us to take notes about how Jesus lived. Help us to recharge our spiritual batteries just like we would recharge our body batteries. Help us to spend time with you in worship and song and prayer. Amen.
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 Thank you so much. That was a great message and a reminder for all of us to take time in silence, to take time in prayer, to recharge our spiritual and mental batteries. One of the things we're blessed with here in Vermont is the ability to find woods where we too can find an alone place, an away place, to just spend time with God and the trees that seem to bear such beautiful witness to God's love and presence. We're going to read a wonderful reading about how we can see God in places where nature is, in places of aloneness, and even in places of despair. Leif Johnson's going to be reading the words that God gives to Isaiah from the 40th chapter. Thank you, Leif.
Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. The Lord does not faint or grow weary. God's understanding is unsearchable. God gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exalted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
Thank you, Leif.
Thank you, Leif.
And then hear this story from very close to the beginning of Jesus' ministry, from the Gospel of Mark. This is right after the ending of last week's reading, actually, where Jesus was in the synagogue. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then her fever left her, and she began to serve them.
That evening, at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him.
Then here's the part Danielle was telling us about. In the morning, while it was still very dark, Jesus got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him, and when they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you."
He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring town so that I may proclaim the message there also. For that is what I came to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons.
So ends the reading. Oh, and I'll go get a towel.
And we'll have a quick emergency pickup. This is the beauty of live worship. While Barb's grabbing a towel, I'll let you know that just as I'm a little embarrassed about knocking our wine over, I used to always be embarrassed about this this healing story in the gospel. I often skip the piece about the healing of Simon Peter's mother-in-law because, especially as a male, it felt really awkward to read this story about this older woman. She's sick, she's had a fever, and she gets healed, and then she gets up and waits on them. It was like, you know, I'm wondering if Simon Peter was in the back going, "Hey mom, as long as you're feeling better, you want to like make lunch for us all? We have about a dozen of us here. You okay? All right? Like, let the poor woman relax or go for a walk or sit on the beach and reflect on what happened." So I've always been very embarrassed to share this story.
And I have a completely different take on it, which is that if I were Simon's mother-in-law and my son-in-law had just brought over a bunch of friends and this new rabbi in town, if I had to lay in bed with a fever and not be able to get up and wait, not wait on them, but serve them, welcome them into my home, I would have been miserable. I would have been shouting down the hall, "Don't just give them peanut butter and jelly. There's some good lamb in the fridge. Make sure you warm that up." And so I think that when Jesus healed her, one of the ways she said thank you was to serve him, was to show him the kind of hospitality that she would have wanted to do anyway.
That's probably how she always shows love in her life.
Right.
You show love by feeding your people.
Right. She's a Jewish mother, right? I can relate to this. I'm not a Jewish mother, but I show love to people by feeding them. And so if we had company and I was in the bedroom sick, I would not only be sick, I would be miserable, right? To not be able to be out and helping.
I show love to people by waxing their skis. So if you need any done, come on by, we'll take care of that.
And I'll make you some bread. And I can imagine her serving them and being so grateful. Mm-hmm. Partly that she was able to do what she wanted to do, but you know how it feels when, I mean, we don't know what's wrong with her. She just says she has a fever, but you know when you have the flu and you can't even imagine getting up and going to the bathroom? And then the day after you have the flu, it's so great to go make breakfast. Mm. It just feels so good to not be sick anymore.
Yeah. Just being reasonably healthy feels exactly. Like a superpower.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just like, it's so great. And I'm so grateful for health that I normally wouldn't be, maybe. And so I wonder if she had this verse from Isaiah in her head. I mean, I think she was a good Jewish woman. She certainly had heard it. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up on wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. And I've been thinking, they will serve lamb and not be sick.
I don't know if that was what was in her head right away, but it certainly, she knows the story behind our reading from Isaiah 40. She would know the story of her people. The time would have been about 550 BC. God's people were entering the second generation of living in exile in the foreign city of Babylon. They are forgetting their stories. They are forgetting who they are. They're forgetting the stories that make them a people and give them their faith. And they're thinking that God is forgetting them too, that they're lost forever. And that there's no future for them or their children. I'm trying to imagine what it is for them to have no reason for faith or for hope. I think how we're doing after just 1 year feeling in exile with COVID and how hopeless many people I talk to feel.
Even with the light at the end of still a long tunnel.
Even with right? there's a vaccine coming. Even with that possibility of hope, it's been hard.
And so it's through Isaiah that God says to them, you know, do you not know this? Have you not heard this? Mm-hmm. God doesn't give up. God doesn't get tired.
I don't grow weary. Those who wait upon me will rise up. I will strengthen the powerless. I'll give power to the faint. And so I'm wondering if Peter's mother got that message. She'd probably heard it as many times as she, as many years as she'd been alive. But if suddenly in her body, she understood it, she felt it, the truth of it.
To feel that rising up on eagle's wings being healed, like grasping onto Jesus' hand.
Right.
To be lifted up like that.
Yeah.
We can be lifted up as an individual, as Simon's mother-in-law was. We can also be lifted up as a people, like God's people in Babylon. The last time I preached on this text, several years ago, we shared a video of Martin Luther King Jr. Speaking to a group of students at the historically Black college known as Spelman College. And he was inviting these young students to be part of the growing civil rights movement. And it was a big unknown at the time. And joining it would be a decision that would be risky and dangerous, and for some even deadly. And it was a decision that could change the nation, could change the world. The quote is at the top of your bulletin. As he was telling the students, wherever they were, do what they could. Take the next step forward in the struggle. And he said, trust that you are always moving in the right direction. If you can't fly, then run. If you can't run, then walk. If you can't walk, then crawl. But whatever you do, you have to keep moving forward.
Those are good words for us to hear.
And they're good words in a time of racial injustice, in a time of pandemic isolation, in a time where hope for tomorrow can feel just this far out of reach. Martin Luther King is sharing, Jesus is sharing, Isaiah is sharing the truth that God is continually breaking in to our experiences of brokenness and exile. God's voice is continually asking us to grab on to the new possibilities for living. Grab on to a God who yearns to make us new, who yearns to make us whole, who offers us the energy, who will fill our batteries or charge our batteries, as Danielle said, and fill our spirits to help us crawl or walk or run or fly. God will raise us up on eagle's wings if we would grab on to God's hands.
But there's a catch.
There's a catch. Right? There's so often a catch.
Absolutely, we need to grab onto God's hands. But if we're going to fly, we also have to let go of the ground, right? Or yes. I'm not an eagle, but I'm guessing let go of the branch, right?
Or let go of whatever it is that's holding us down.
Right, we have to let go of where we are to be able to fly to someplace new. That doesn't mean we change completely. It makes me think of the leadership course that I teach, which is called Tending the Fire. Mm-hmm. And I modeled it on a program called the New Orleans Intensive. And the person who developed that program, John Wynn, is my mentor in this. And there's a lot in Tending the Fire that looks exactly like the New Orleans Intensive. Mm-hmm. And for a while, a couple of years, I did pretty much exactly what the New Orleans Intensive did.
Mm-hmm.
But then I started doing other continuing ed pieces, and I went to a piece with the Lombard Mennonite Center in Chicago, and they did some things around case studies and genograms. And I thought that needs to be in Tending the Fire. And so I brought those things back and I kind of wedged them in. And I'm always reading, I'm always going to courses, I'm always trying to find new things to put into that program. but I can't just keep stuffing new things in or it'll be 17 days long, right?
I'm so, sure people would be fine with that.
Yeah, right. So when I put something new in that helps to make it a better and more relevant program, I have to take some pieces out. And some of those pieces out are things that I really love. They're stories that I love to tell or that I think are really illustrative, but there's not space for them anymore. Or there are topics that I don't address so that I can address something else that's more relevant to now. Mm-hmm. So it's not that tending the fire is completely different, but for it to keep flying, I can't stay grasping that branch all the time. Mm. I need to be able to let go of some things so I can put other things in.
You had to do that. And with worship, we had to do that with COVID as well. Right. There's certain things we had to let go of, like
singing.
You're doing retreats, singing.
We're going to come back to them, but right now, to be able to do what we can do, we've had to let go of something. Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, you were able to do that consciously because you're a good analytical person. I got instinct too, right?
Yeah. And yeah. just because I know that I don't want to go to something that's too long, right?
Yeah.
So I'm always trying not to make it too long. When I shifted from in-person retreats to COVID online retreats, I've had to pare down even farther and take out some things that are very, really dear to me, because I can't make people sit in front of a Zoom screen for 12 hours a day, the way we can be together at a retreat.
Right.
So for this to be able to fly in this time, there are lots of things that I've had to set aside, and it'll be fascinating to me to see what comes back together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway.
Hmm. I'm a little slower. So usually I need God to hit me upside the head with a 2x4 with a metaphor or a symbol.
That's what you hit me for.
That's right. but for me, it was a vacation a few years ago with our family when we rented a place near Bath, Maine. And I had just gotten a lovely skin on frame kayak from a friend in Ontario who had built it. And so I was kind of getting used to it and paddling awkwardly up the river and just enjoying the Maine coast. It was gorgeous. And while I had been paddling, I had been watching a bald eagle that had been magnificent, soaring and scoping for fish. And finally, I got to watch it dive down into the water. It was beautiful. It folds up its wings and just, and boom, went down into the water and stayed under for a little while. And I kind of waited for him to come up, and finally his head pops up and some flapping, some very soggy wings. And he starts flapping harder and harder and getting just barely above the water. And there is a honking fish that he is clenched onto, and that fish wrestles with him and takes him right back down under the water. And this happens a couple of times. And finally, the eagle lets go of that fish. And eagles are gorgeous in the air. They are not swimmers. and this poor eagle kind of half flew. They don't have webs. And so
right.
It's kind of half swam, half dragged its way through the water, flopped its sad self onto the shore, shook himself out, and looked vaguely disgruntled and kind of mad that I was a witness to the entire thing. I mean, eagles always look cranky, but he was especially not happy with me looking and watching the entire embarrassing episode. But even I could go, a metaphor.
Well, and
you
I'm
have
sure
to let go of right. what's holding you down if you're gonna fly.
And what I would say about the eagle was that grabbing that fish seemed like a great idea at the time.
It's right? food.
It wasn't until it had gotten dragged underwater a couple times that it realized it was not a great idea and let go and managed to get itself back to the shore. It makes me think about us in this COVID time, right? So we're all doing our COVID thing. It's working, but this isn't where we want to stay forever.
we're starting to think that sometime, maybe not too far down the road, 6 months, I mean, we don't know, mm-hmm. we'll be able to gather in person again. We'll be able to be with our friends and our family again. We'll be able to do worship again.
Yeah.
In the church, we'll be like the exiles coming home. We'll be able to be in the building instead of seeing each other on screens. Mm-hmm. That's me. That hope is part of what sustains.
Yes, it will be amazing. It will be a relief. It will be a joyful celebration. I think it's also going to be hard because it will finally be a time where we will be able to share the grief at what we've missed, grief that some things have changed. Grief that we have lost people and lost time. And we'll be different. We have changed over the last year. We have gone through grief and boredom and imagining what might be next and different.
Connected in different ways, and we're connected with different people than we would have been had this not happened at all, right?
Yes.
So that's one of the other ways that we've changed.
Right. And one of the blessings is the amazing people who don't live in Northwest Vermont, who we've been able to have amazing relationship with in Chicago and Georgia and Florida and elsewhere.
And the relationships of folks within the church are different and are shifting with shepherds and all, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So we can't just pick up where we left off on March 8th, 2020. We're in a new place.
Right, because it's going to be 2021 and all.
Yeah.
And, you know, there'll be so many specific things, right? Do we still need to sit apart? Can we sing? How do we sing? Do we start outside and go in? I mean, there's going to be so many detail-y things to think about that are still all theoretical now. But it feels to me like these next months are a time when we can't figure out all the physical pieces yet, because it's just too unknown,
right,
for us to do the spiritual and the emotional preparing. And we've talked about this before, for us to keep doing our own lamenting so that we can free up for whatever God has available, for us to do the praying we need to do so that as we come back together, we don't just come back together in a fierce and not loving kind of way. We come back together with God and through God and for God and for each other.
Right. That's really our spiritual invitation.
Right.
And our mental invitation as well. We need to emotionally and spiritually let go of the ground or whatever burdens have been holding us down or will continue to hold us down in order to grab on to the eagle's wings of freedom that God offers us in Jesus Christ. It's going to be a lot of prayer, a lot of conversation, a lot of talking about what is our spiritual DNA as a community, to figure out what it is that we continue to hold on to and lift up with us and what we can let go of.
And ironically, those conversations will happen the best to figure out what it is that we most want to be holding on to.
Mm-hmm.
If we can hold lightly, hold the specifics lightly as we talk about the core
that we hold on to for your life.
It's so much, it sounds so much easier. And
oh yeah, it's great. It's easy right now.
It does in practice. And we're going to have a lot of practice.
And decidedly consciously unclenching the things we know are trapping us to the ground. The bitterness and the built up resentments, the angers that keep us chained to past injuries.
Right.
I think there's a certain amount of needing to let go of a fantasy that we have our lives in control.
Does anyone have that fantasy anymore? I mean, maybe.
Maybe. Maybe it's a harder fantasy to have, but or the fantasy that we have a good grasp of what God's thoughts and plans are right, us as well.
And that's the Isaiah piece. Isaiah just says out now, you have no idea what God's up to. Right. No. But, and if you wait on God, God will come.
Right. And to realize that my prides and my prejudices are not identical with God's.
So how do we prepare ourselves? How do we keep moving? You know, the Martin Luther King's thing, right? So how do we keep moving forward now? Because it is going to be a while.
It will be.
We can't wait to start moving forward.
We're way down on that waiting list for getting the vaccine.
But even for folks who are getting the vaccines, life is not going to just bam back to normal because you've gotten your second shot. So how do we sustain?
We sustain with hope and with perseverance. And it's day to day. We all need to continue or develop spiritual disciplines to help us through these next days. We have one more Sunday of the season of Epiphany, this amazing season of unveiling and revealing. Then we come into the season of Lent, which is a season of discipline, of self-examination. It's an incredibly good time to start looking at how is it that we move into a post-COVID time to prepare our hearts and minds and spirits. So we are going to be offering a couple of resources that might be helpful. There's a program that we're connecting to called Again and Again. And it's a time to be in prayer and reflection about all the ways that God is with us again and again throughout our lives, throughout our struggles.
And the ways we need God.
And the way and we need God again and again. So we're going to have two pieces that are going to be sent out with our new shepherd groups. One is a booklet of daily readings and reflections that are really solid. Sometimes prepared Lenten studies or Lenten devotionals can be a little sappy, to be honest, but this dives in deep to real stuff. And there's also a very cool collection of cards, or because we're low budget, these will be sheets of paper, with a reading and a question to reflect on over the course of the day. So we're going to get 40 days of Lent to really be invited to dive deep into our faith, into a trust of God's dreams for where we go next, and a way for us to move forward as a community for that time when we are able to be back in person again. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's a neat resource. I think that'll be one way that we can do some preparing for next steps.
And for those of you who are part of this or who listen to this on your own time, who are not part of the physical community here at Essex Center, if you can be in touch, send something in the chat, send Mitch an email, whatever, we'll make sure that those things get sent to you.
Right. We can send you a PDF of both those resources so you can have those at home. You can print them up and have them on your own.
And, you know, I think another thing, I'm thinking about your eagle story. Mm-hmm. One of the things I love about that story is how bedraggled it was at the end. Right? And annoyed at the situation, at being observed, right? And so I think one of the other thing ways that we can prepare ourselves is, you know, I do a little work in how change happens. And there's going to be times that we're going to be bedraggled, right? And we're not going to be necessarily, like right now, we're privately bedraggled in COVID, unless we do it on Zoom. But when we all come back together, there's going to be times when we're trying to swim and we don't have the right kind of swimming equipment, or we had hoped to come in with a beautiful and graceful and swooping landing, and instead it's just gone all splat all over the place. And I think one of the other ways to prepare ourselves is to just know that that is just going to happen, and to be determined now that when it happens, we'll be like, yep, opportunities for humility abound, right? Amen. And so it's not going to be perfect. Even if we did everything right, it's not going to be perfect.
Absolutely.
And just any more than Simon bringing Jesus to his mother-in-law's house, that wasn't perfect either. He got there and she was sick. And I can imagine that he was like, oh, great, now I'm going to have to make dinner, right? So
that would be like Peter. Oh, now I have to make dinner. Yeah.
So there's something about spending the time waiting on the Lord and knowing that it's going to be whatever it's going to be, and God will renew us through it. With that in mind, whatever comes, whenever it comes, I think we'll be okay.
All shall be well.
All shall be well.
So we, as the psalmist says, wait on the Lord. Right. Just like we're waiting for a vaccine. Just like we wait for any number of things in our lives. But waiting on the Lord is part of our existential reality. The Lord who promises to renew us, to go with us, to bring us forward, and to lift us up on eagle's wings, if we're willing to let go of the ground.
Right.
Amen.
Amen, y'all. And we have a video this morning.
Yes.
By Narda wants to speak to us about a real world epiphany that she's had. And then there'll also be some music from Catherine Parker. So if you want to put prayer requests into the chat, please do. I'm going to go find something to fill up our chalice. So if you need to do something for communion, that would be fine too.
See you in a few minutes.
So Barb and Mitch asked us to talk about times we felt God in our life or had an epiphany of our own. And I thought about this, and one moment 30 years ago kept coming back to me. It was almost 32 years ago. It was back in July of 1989. Jeremy was 17 months old. Patrick was 6 weeks old. Chuck and I were living in Shelburne at the time, trying to buy a house in Essex. We had recently bought we had been ready to move once already. Someone had put an offer in on our condo, and we had found a house to move to. And then I was very pregnant with Patrick when that was supposed to happen. And right before the closing, our buyer lost their financing, which meant we lost the house we had put the bid on. The people weren't willing on waiting till we could find a new buyer. And now, almost 3 months later, we'd found a new house and we had a new buyer for our condo. And we were really excited, but we didn't quite have the financing tied up yet. And I was afraid the buyer was going to lose their financing. And I had a newborn baby at home, and I had a little toddler, and money was tight, and Chuck was working a lot of hours, and life was really stressful, and I had to pack everything up again in between feedings. And on this particular July afternoon, I found myself traveling down Shelburne Road from South Burlington to Shelburne during the middle of a huge construction project. It was the first time they were widening Shelburne Road. And we had stopped at Burger King so I could pick up a snack for Jeremy, which was a good thing, because as we come down the hill near where Goss Dodge, Nordic Ford was, I know they've all changed their names, but you remember where that was, we came to a complete standstill. And we were there for a long time. And I had the radio on, singing along with it to, keep the kids calm. I was handing fries back to Jeremy so that to keep him happy. But, when you're in a hot car on a hot July afternoon and you're not moving, it doesn't take very long for a baby to start screaming, which Patrick did. And, of course, after the fries ran out, Jeremy started screaming, and, "Mommy, why aren't we moving?" Though he probably couldn't talk that well. And I just kept turning up the radio and singing louder and louder. And at the same time, I was thinking about all the things, like not having heard from the bank, and what bills were going to be in the mail when we got home, and how late was Chuck working, and how was I going to calm Patrick down, and what if Patrick, you know, messed his pants, and all these things, and I just couldn't stay calm, and I was pretty close to losing it. And I kept turning the radio up and singing louder, because at this point I just wanted the kids to be quiet, and it wasn't working. And then the song "Don't Worry, Be Happy" by Bobby McFerrin came on the radio, and it had been a hit in 1988, and it still played it on the radio a lot, and a lot of people thought it was kind of trite. Don't worry, be happy, you know, just be happy, all your troubles will go away. But for some reason this time, I didn't hear "Don't Worry, Be Happy" as I was singing along with it. I heard Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7 in my mind, a verse that I had liked whenever I heard it, but didn't think about on a regular basis. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And I heard that instead of the lyrics, and I calmed down. I was like, right, don't worry, be happy. And I sat there praying, and I heard both Patrick and Jeremy calm down. And shortly, after about 45 minutes, with this verse just running through my head over and over again, we finally made it home. And I can't say that life got a lot easier in the next few weeks. But from then on, I knew that I didn't have to be anxious about what happened tomorrow. I could hand my worries over to God. It was my job to be grateful. It was my job to trust God and to do what I could, what was in my power, and turn the rest over to God. And I won't ever forget that day where I learned that very important lesson. Amen.
Thank you, Catherine, for the beautiful music, and Narda for the real-life epiphany.
Absolutely.
Finding God in the midst of a traffic jam is not something I have experienced yet, so something for me to think about looking toward someday.
Right. So as we come into prayer, thank you for all of you who sent in prayer requests, and hear this prayer by Barbara Middleton. To the Holy Spirit. So let's join our spirits together in prayer. Holy Spirit, we are broken. Our earth and her peoples call out for healing. This day we call from around the world in our mother tongues. Fill us, Holy Spirit, with your blessings that we may follow the mission of the apostles. Holy Spirit, we are broken. Our earth and her peoples call for healing. We are living a pandemic intersection of health crisis, personal and political chaos. Many have died. Help us live. Many have lost family, home, job, and country. Every illness, death, anger, destruction, and discrimination fill our eyes and ears. Holy Spirit, we are broken. Our earth and her peoples call for healing. Send your dove of peace to descend upon our hearts. May she fill us with peace, with kindness, with grace, with love, so that we may work and act with justice to include all your peoples. Holy Spirit, we are broken. Our earth and her peoples cry for your healing. And you hear, and you are here.
Amen. Thank you for those who have lifted up prayers, many for healing. Pam lifts up prayers for her friend Carol, who passed on January 24th after a long fight. Prayers for her family and all who loved her. She has found her peace. Dana lifts up prayers of thanks for her sister who went into labor 5 weeks early last Sunday. And her little nephew arrived so quickly that her brother-in-law delivered him at home while waiting for the EMS. Mama and baby Meyer are doing well. Thank the Lord. Brooke lifts up prayers for the Badger family. They just learned that their mother has lung cancer. And Sharon lifts up prayers for a friend in North River in the Adirondacks, Diana Burns, whose mother passed away this week.
And I lift up two colleagues. My colleague Stacy, whose father has just passed away after a long fight with cancer. And my colleague Bonnie, who's struggling with all of the changes and pressures of this pandemic time. May you be present with them, God. And as we lift these words that Jesus taught us, may you hear beneath these words and running through all of them, the longings and the love of our hearts. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So as we come together for the Lord's Supper for communion, this last week, one of our colleagues, Maran Tirabassi, wrote about communion and about Jesus healing Simon's mother-in-law and her then putting out dinner for all of them. And she imagines Jesus watching her serve and the joy with which she does it and the spirit that's amongst the people at the table. And she wonders if maybe that was a place where Jesus thought, meals, I'll have to remember this as I'm going forward. You know, he was at the beginning of his ministry. He was putting it together too, right? And yeah, so with that in mind, I invite you to share with us in communion. And if you wish, in your own setting, in your own location, as we bless bread and cup here, we invite you to lift the bread, to break it with us, to lift the cup. So what words do you have for us this morning?
Well, I was just thinking how Jesus' ministry began with a meal shared, a meal in response to healing. And at the end of his ministry, he shared a meal that embodies healing, yes, even in the midst of breakage. And so we remember that night in the upper room where Jesus took bread and broke it, blessed it, and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you, a broken body offering healing and wholeness to all."
And also how he took the cup and again gave thanks to you, God, for it. And as he looked out at those gathered with him, he said, "Drink of this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink, whenever you eat this poured out cup, this broken bread, remember me and be healed." And so, Holy Spirit, come and be in these gifts of bread and cup. Come and be in each one of us in all of our places. Fill us with you, that through us you might flow into all the world for healing, for wholeness, for grace, for hope. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let this bread and cup be for us, body and blood, so that we may be for the world the hands and feet of Christ. Amen.
So we invite you to share communion with the folks in your place or by yourself, knowing that you are not alone. We are with you and the Spirit is with you.
We share this as a community. Our body of Christ broken for you.
Amen.
And the blood of Christ shed for you.
Amen. And Mitch, body of Christ broken for you, and the blood of Christ shed for you.
We thank God for refreshing us at this table, recharging our batteries so that we may go out in the world, maybe crawling, maybe walking, maybe running, maybe flying on eagle's wings, but in all things doing it as disciples of Jesus. We have some announcements about some of the things that are possible for us to be a part of this week. Tomorrow, we have a Bible study at 7 o'clock on Zoom. We're continuing the Character of God series with the wonderful word chesed, God's steadfast love or loyal love. The Zoom link and study links are in your bulletin. On Wednesday, February 10th, the Green Mountain District will be having a pre-Lenten gathering with Nancy DeBelius, who is an old friend of Barb's from the Adirondack, from the Old Troy Conference, part of the Albany District. And she will be sharing some spiritual disciplines for the Lenten season.
Nancy runs the Spiritual Director Training Program in Upper New York. She's just been ordained a deacon. She's a marvelous presence. And so if you're able to come on Wednesday, the link is in the bulletin and we'll also send it out on the Facebook page.
Next Sunday is the last Sunday of Epiphany and it's Valentine's Day. And so we haven't had a coffee hour in quite a while. So we are going to have a Valentine's Day coffee hour after worship. We'll send out the Zoom link for that. So after this worship on Facebook Live, we'll invite you to jump over to the Zoom link, and we will have coffee, maybe some chocolate or something else to share each other. And that's the kind of thing we so wish we could do in person, to let each other know how we love them, but we can do it via Zoom. So we'll do that next Sunday right after worship. And then every Sunday during Lent at 7 p.m., the New England Conference of the United Methodist Church is going to be doing an anti-racism workshop called Roll Down Justice, doing anti-racism work with a spiritual foundation. Information is in your bulletin, and registration, I think, needs to be done this week. So the registration information is in your bulletin. And then Wednesday the 17th, we will be starting Lent with an ecumenical Ash Wednesday service that will be at 7 o'clock via Zoom. The link has not been created yet, but we'll get that right out to you. But we'll be doing that with our brothers and sisters in Christ in the Underhill, Jericho, Essex area. I invite you to read about our food shelf needs from Ellen in the announcements. We also have information about the Joint Urban Ministry Program online auction that's happening right now. That information is all in your bulletin. We have birthdays this week as well.
There's a note from someone saying that the jump link didn't work for them. We'll pay attention. We'll get those links straightened out.
We have birthdays on February 9th for Chloe, Marika, Lemel, Hay.
Right.
Wow. On the 10th, Danielle shared that Allison and Hannah's birthdays are on February 10th. And on the 11th is Joanne Hennessy's birthday.
And also your mom.
And my mom. That's not written down here. Thanks. Oh.
Thank you all for coming and joining with us today. And may this last full week of the Epiphany season be a time when you find God in all kinds of ways and places. And know that if you're not finding God, that waiting on God is also a faithful action. Mm-hmm. And scripture promises us renewing of strength. May that be true for you. May that be true for us, that we might rise up and be the people God calls us to be. Go in peace.
Go in the name of the God who renews, the God who is creator, redeemer, and sustainer now and forever. Amen.
Amen.